Welcome to the Parental Thriving Podcast. I am your host, Melissa Bujeya, certified positive discipline educator, parental coach, and down and dirty in this journey with my own two preteens and young child. If you are looking to grow as a parent, if you want to transform your relationship with your children, this is the place to go. Each week, I bring you a solo show or an interview, and I am honored to share with you my passion and have you listen in. If you do not want to miss what is happening for your parents, please join my mailing list on www.parentalthrivingmalta.com. I love hearing from my listeners, so feel free to drop me a line on melissa@parentalthrivingmalta.com. And it would be great if you share these episodes with your friends.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you, everyone? And I am talking to you about the misbehaving child. And I essentially do not believe about misbehaving children. There are no bad misbehaving children, but there are a lot of children with unmet needs. And that makes a whole lot of difference. So, let us get a bit more into this. What does that mean exactly? What does it translate to? How do we change the narrative? So, going from the beginning, children, as I said, do not misbehave just for the sake of giving us grief. There is always something. We have to remember that the behavior is tip of the iceberg, and then there is all the rest which we are not seeing, and that I think is essential for us to remember and understand. When I first came across this through one of my mentors, it was like, oh yeah, this is so true. It was such an aha moment for me, because we always tend to look at the behavior that is happening at the time. You know, your child is tantruming, your child is screaming at you, your child, whatever they are doing. And we forget to think about anything else that might be contributing to this factor. And therefore, I continue to reiterate, there are no misbehaving children, but there are a lot of unmet needs. And so when we look at it from perspective, when the child, let's go with the younger child first. So let's go with the toddlers and younger child up to 9 years old, more or less, or 10. And we have a child who might be having temper tantrums. They might be throwing stuff, who might be biting, who might be backtalking, who might make an issue about every single thing that you will mention. So we are going out now and there is an issue. It's time for bedtime and there's an issue. There is always something, and it is up to us as the parents to understand what something is. Sometimes you don't know, and that is fine. But I feel that more than 50% of the time, we can determine what our child actually needs. And let us go with the toddlers first. So toddlers usually, the temper tantrums and biting and throwing stuff and so on. Usually it's a matter of lack of speaking skills. So they don't have the vocabulary and they wish to tell us something and they can't, and it is so, so frustrating for them. So what do? They put out a temper tantrum, because anger and frustration, well, frustration is a part of anger, right? So when there is that, anger needs to come out and it needs movement. So how does it come out? And it comes out with temper tantrums, with shouting, with screaming, with hitting, with throwing stuff, you know. So that is one of the main reasons when we have a very young child doing these things. They have lack of vocabulary, which is frustrating them. So how do we go about that? What we normally do is that we would, first of all, help them calm down. And that can look very different. And it is, can be very difficult actually, because holding the space, this is what we call holding the space, is literally us being available for our children without intervening as much as possible. So it's not us talking to them when they are angry much. We can say a few words here and there, but not much. And definitely we are not talking to them about what happened. So it's more like, I see you are very angry. Would you like a hug? Can you give me a hug? And usually I mention the hug because the hug helps us to calm down a lot. So first I usually ask them, I will ask them if I can give them a hug. Let's say 50% of the time they would say no because they are in such anger. And after a few minutes I would wait and say, can you give me a hug? Because I really need a hug. I'm so upsetting like that. And over 70% of the time, they will come for the hug. Maybe not the first time I say it, but by the second time, most of the time, they will come and give me a hug, and I hug them back, and it helps children to calm down. So that is something which is very easily done and much more easily remembered for us to do. Once children are calmed down, it is good to go back on what had happened. I could see that earlier, and when with young kids, we have to go back and give them questions. So like, do you remember when earlier today you threw that duck at me? That wasn't nice at all. You don't throw stuff. I could see you were very frustrated. Was it that you, and you try and give them words to what they were feeling and what they needed, because that will help children feel validated, understood, and accepted. And rather than us being all angry, and you shouldn't be doing that, you shouldn't throw stuff, I'll give you a punishment. It's not helping. It simply is not helping. It's not easy to get out of doing these things. I still do it, and my oldest is nearly 13 now. So it's not easy to get out of it. But it is definitely possible to start reducing these things that we are doing. And so when we look at all that, that is what most of our children need, the validation, the understanding. So other things why children, not just toddlers, but let's say toddlers are more prone to it, that they can be back-talking, getting angry at us, and all these things, and other misbehaviors, is if they are overwhelmed, if they are tired, if they are hungry, if they are overstimulated, and also if there is not enough stimulation or not enough movement. So all these things, which are actually basic things our children need, and the sleep, I don't think I mentioned it. No, I did mention when they are tired. So all these things, which are basic things of self-care, really and truly, when there is a lack or an over over them, they will lead to misbehavior. Why? Because if the child is overstimulated, if you've been out all day and you hadn't time to be quiet, there is so much overstimulation and possibly overwhelm for the child, and they just need that quiet time. Especially young children, they need a lot of quiet time in the house or somewhere where there isn't overstimulation, maybe at the beach, maybe in the countryside, but somewhere when they are out and about, they don't need a lot of, I don't know, maybe you go to mother and baby clubs where there is messy there, and that's fine. But too much of that, and maybe on top of that, you went shopping and so on, it becomes too much for the child, too much, especially for a younger child. So these are things that we need to be aware of and really, as much as possible, on top of, not always possible for us because life does get in the way. But if we are aware that usually our child does get hungry around this time, carry snacks with you, and before they start being angry, hangry, the thing is, we just offer them the snacks. If we know that our child gets tired by 7 o'clock, which is a normal bedtime for young children, well, be home by 6. You know, sometimes, again, I know sometimes it's not possible because sometimes you might have errands that need to be done and maybe you were working outside of the home all day and errands have to be done after. And, you know, there are all these things happening. But being aware of what is triggering all these things is helpful for us to reduce them. And even if at that moment we cannot do anything about it much, if our children are tired but we still need to go out, well, maybe you can put some relaxing music, maybe you can put on an audiobook for them to listen while you are driving, something that will help them to calm down, maybe have a nap in the car. If you know, as I said, if you know that they are going to be hungry, then we carry snacks with us. Movement, enough sleep, these are all very important things to reduce misbehavior. Also, something which is very, very important, especially again in the younger children, is having anchor points, what I call rhythm. So there is a rhythm to the day. There is for lack of a better word, the word ran away from me. I can't remember the word. Anyway, you know, you have a routine. That's the word. They have a routine. So that the child knows, for example, that every morning as they get up, they will get a cuddle, then they will dress up and have breakfast before going out, whatever, wherever they are going. That at, for example, school-age children, that they know that at 2:30 on the dot, they will pick it up. And as soon as they get home, they will have, tea and a snack after changing the clothes. And then maybe you play together for a bit before going to the homework. And that dinner is always happening around about. And dinner always happening at the same time. You are all at the table, for example. And that after dinner, there will be bath and stories and bedtime. So having anchor points help to reduce also all these types of misbehaviors. Why? Because children need to know what is happening. For them, that they don't know what's going to happen next is very frightening. And so for them to have that idea of not all day, because as I said, we tend to get, life gets in our way and we can't always keep to a routine. But if we have the anchor points in place, that will be so, so, so helpful for the child. So think about that. When as children are getting older and they have more vocabulary to express themselves and so on, again, there is, and especially as we get to the teen years, where there are so many things which we will not know about, because let's face it, as the child gets older, they will have their own life that they are living. They are maybe meeting up with their friends. School is so exhausting and so difficult for them. And so there will be things which unfortunately, whether we accept it or not, we will not know about. So the iceberg thing is very real, especially in the teen years. And most of the time we are not sure of how we can know these things. It's impossible unless the child tells us. So how do we go about them? Again, we never discuss the issue there and then when everyone is hot and angry. We wait till everyone is calmed down. And that might mean also the next day. It could mean a week after, if that helps. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that because we don't deal with the situation that very second, that the child is not going to get discipline that they need. So open communication, especially with the older children, is so important. I can't stress enough about it. And the more my children grow, and now that I have a preteen, and well, in a couple of months, a teen, it's incredible. It's incredible how much open communication I find that you need even more than when they were children. But when they were children, when they were young, that is the groundwork for trust to be built and for us to be able then to have open communication as they got older. So how does that look for us? And that looks for us as, if the child is, for example, refusing to do chores at home when they've been doing it, it's part of the family routine, and rather than getting angry again with them is, you do know that this is part of our family routine, it's part of our agreement, you have to do these chores. So what are your plans? What is stopping you from making the chores? And also make sure, double check on yourself, because we tend to want that thing to be done there and then. And that is something which really undermines so many things. Because you might say, okay, Jack, can you do the laundry for me? And your son Jack says, yeah, sure, Ma. But your expectation is that he goes there and then and does it that second. While Jack is thinking, I will play this game, then I will do the homework, then I will eat, and then I will do the laundry. So, be more specific as well. So check in with yourself. Do you want to be done there and then? If so, say so. Can you do it now? I really need you to do the laundry for me now. If not, and have you seen that maybe an hour passed, and Jack still hasn't done the laundry? Hey, Jeff, what's your plan on the laundry? Don't forget it, all right? And he'll tell, yeah, man, I'm just going to do this and that, and then I will do it. And that's fine. We might still need to remind our older children to do chores and stuff like that very often. Even though they are older and we think that they don't need to, they actually need to. The same thing goes with homeworks, with issues. Maybe they are getting angry at you for no reason at all, or at least that's what seems to us. And again, once they are calmed down, you can go and say, or in that very second, you can say, like, I see you're going through a tough moment. You seem very angry right now. You want to talk about it later? Just let me know. And you leave it at that and walk away from the situation. Most of the situations which we encounter with our children when it comes to misbehavior is that they misbehave and we misbehave back. Yep. Why? Because they might be backtalking us and we will backtalk back to them. And we keep going through this process and making it worse because now there's not only your child angry, there is you who is also fuming. And none of you want to back down. And does that lead to any solution? None at all. So what you have to do, you are the adult. You have to be the one in charge. So you have to take a step back. Okay, my child is not answering me in the way they are. And when they are calm, you will remind them, look, it's okay to be angry. It's not okay to take your anger on me. It's not okay to shout at me. It's not okay to whatever they are doing, but keeping it real, mom and parents and dads and whatever, you have to keep it real. Open communication is so important. And there is always something. And we might not know what it is. We might not be able to figure it out. Maybe our children don't want to tell us. But that we keep our calm as much as possible and show them, even if at that moment we didn't manage to be calm, you can go back after and tell them, hey, look, I'm sorry. I didn't act appropriately. You were angry, and rather than helping you out, I just got angry myself. You know, I am here if you want to talk to me about why you were so angry last time. You know, and maybe they will tell you, that's cool, but I'm fine. And then maybe after a few hours or a couple of days, they will come and tell you. It's something which I am seeing happening a lot myself in the home, where something might happen, and I will ask, you know, what do you need? And they will tell me, oh, cool, I'm fine, I'm nothing. And then I will go for bedtime just to say goodnight. You know, they are reading their books in their bed, and they are, Matt and I talk to you, and you know, and tell me about what happened and why they were so anxious or angry and so on. And so, you know, even remembering to ask them, especially the older children, if they actually want our advice. I had an issue with my oldest child a few weeks ago where, you know, he would tell me things and I would just go to, you know, parents, how we are, you know, we just want to help our children. And he would get angry, and I'm like, but, you know, you came and told me about your problem, and now because I'm helping you out, you are getting angry at me. So then it kind of clicked to me, and I was like, one day he was going on the same like that, saying, you know, telling me about things that are bullying him, and I said, let me stop you for a minute. Are you wanting to tell me about them just to take it off your chest? Or are you looking for help from me? He was like, no, Ma, I just wanted to listen and say nothing else. And that was a game changer. My son felt listened to and accepted. And I didn't need to do anything. And even though it was hard, because some of the things that he was saying were like, oh my God, but he didn't want my input. And that is fine. And just at the end of the conversation, I said, well, you know, if you want any input on all that, I'm here. And he said, yes, I know. And that was it. And the relationship improved so much because of that little gesture from my side. And so yes, just a small recap. With young children, it is most of the time lack of communication skills, tiredness, hunger, overwhelm, overstimulation, understimulation, lack of movement. So these, look into these things with the younger child, help them formulate what it is that they need to say, give words to their feelings, validate their feelings. I see you are very angry right now. It seems like you wish the blue cup while I offered you the yellow cup. You know, whatever, but give words to the feeling as much as possible. Once they are calm, I could see that you were very angry. It seems like you are so frustrated because you wanted something and you couldn't tell me what it is. These are things which will help the child feel validated, feel accepted, feel loved, and learn, obviously, communication skills. With older children, we need to listen more than we talk. And always remember that the behavior that we are seeing is just the tip of the iceberg, and we need to look beyond. So that is all I wanted to tell you about misbehaving. Children, have a good day. Bye.